Hi, this is Maury Moreland Morrison, here to tell you GEICO has more than just great savings. Much more. Yes, while GEICO could help you rack up more moolah faster than you can say metamorphosis, they've also been the fastest growing auto insurer for more than 10 years. That's more like it. Furthermore, GEICO has fast and friendly claim service. That might seem like an oxymoron, but it's not. All the more reason to say no other auto insurer has more than GEICO. GEICO. Expect great savings and a whole lot more.
Blog Talk Radio.
The time has come for a new revolution. Not a revolution of violence or control, but a revolution of the mind, the heart, and the soul. A revolution that will touch the hearts of men to let them know that they no longer have to pretend. This is a place where men get to be real, because in this space they can say exactly what they feel. So men of all races, unite and come in. This journey will challenge you to look deep within. So now, let the new revolution begin, because it's time for a new conversation with men.
Welcome to A New Conversation with Men, where we educate, motivate, and inspire men to reach their full potential. I'm your host, Coach Michael Taylor, and be sure to find me online at CoachMichaelTaylor.com. Well, tonight's topic is probably one of the most important conversations that I believe most men really aren't having. Although it is an extremely important aspect of our lives, I have come to know that very few men are courageous and honest enough to speak openly about their sexuality. It is my belief that our unwillingness to speak openly and honestly about our sexuality is what drives a lot of negative male behavior. You see, issues like sexual addiction, rape, incest, and domestic violence can all be traced back to men, and women actually, who have not developed healthy sexuality. And the problem as I see it is that we are constantly bombarded with unrealistic sexual images that creates anxiety, frustration, and confusion for men. On top of that, a lot of men are unknowingly dealing with fear, shame, and a sense of inadequacy regarding their sexuality, which is usually the result of childhood upbringing combined with religious intolerance. So I believe what is needed is an open, honest discussion about sexuality that allows men to feel comfortable and secure about their bodies and their sex lives. But it is not my intention to be judgmental or condemn anyone or to say that I know everything there is to know about male sexuality. My intention is simply to engage you in a dialogue about sexuality that will hopefully provide you with some insights that will support you in not only enhancing your sex life, but it will give you some clarity about your own individual sexuality. And joining me tonight is a man who knows a thing or two about male sexuality. His name is Freddie Zintel Weaver, and he is an internationally renowned workshop leader, relationship and intimacy coach, and a certified Tantra yoga teacher. He is the co-producer of the best-selling DVD series, Creating Intimacy in Love, and was featured on Showtime's documentary, Sexual Healing, and also on the Emmy Award-winning NBC show, Starting Over. He is also a performing artist with a one-man show called Sexual Enlightenment that is currently touring the United States. He is definitely a man who is creating a new conversation with men in regards to sexuality, and it is my honor and privilege to welcome him to the show. So, hello, Freddie. Welcome to A New Conversation with Men. How are you doing this fine evening?
Hi, Michael. Great. Great to be on your show.
Well, really, really excited about having you on. But before we jump into your Tantra Nova program, I wanted to give the audience an opportunity to get to know Freddie just a little bit. So, first of all, tell us where you're calling from.
Well, I'm calling from Chicago. I've lived here about 12 years. Previous to this, I was in San Francisco. Used to be in the software business. Now I'm in the hardware business, people. raised in Hawaii and college, Arizona, and been here 12 years. And yeah.
Great. So tell us a little bit about your family, whatever you'd like to share.
Sure. Well, the work that I do now, I was introduced to through my father, who is a psychiatrist. And you know, when I was 15 years old, I was going through my puberty and had all this sexual energy and unconsciousness around it and wanted to know more. So my father gave me a book to read written by a guy by the name of Bhagwan Shri Rajneesh, who later changed his name to Osho. And he taught sex consciousness practices, ways that a man could learn to work with his sexual energy in a way that was empowering and masterful. And I loved that practice, those practices, and stayed with it for, you know, through college. I was an athlete, played basketball, and after college I did things professionally. I taught school for a while. Then I did music professionally for a while. I did stand-up comedy for a while. And then I was in the software business for a long while, like 20 years.
Wow. And
I kept doing these practices. And what I learned from these practices and what I knew of these practices in terms of my work was that I wasn't feeling inspired by the work I was doing after 20 years. So, you know, I looked for what I could do to be, you know, reconnected with my aliveness. So I took a job with a company here in Chicago. That was 12 years ago, where I met my partner, and her and I immediately hit it off, and she was on her own tantric journey. And we formed this company, Tantra Nova Institute, here in Chicago 12 years ago.
Well, I got to tell you, I know for me personally, I have this sense, this energy, I guess, this feeling when I see certain pictures. And
yes.
When I go to your website and I see you and your partner, there is an intimacy and connection there that is just beautiful. I just want to share that with you. Because, you know, some people can take pictures together, but they don't really feel connected. They don't seem connected.
Mm-hmm.
There really seems to be a connection and an intimacy there. We're going to be talking a little bit about that as we move through the night, probably how you create that connection. But I just want to share that with you. I also want to tease you a little bit, because when I first saw your picture, I thought, man, I got Lou Gossett coming on my show tonight. That's exciting. So how many times have you heard that?
The first time, but I could see the similarity. You know, right now I've got hair on the top of my head, but when I'm all cut off, I could see the color similarity and height and so on. And Lou's a great actor.
One of my favorites, man. Great.
That's a compliment. Great. Thank you, Michael.
Great guy. So, if I were to come to your house right now and I were to look on your bookshelf, what would be some of the other books I'd see on your bookshelf?
Well, you'd certainly see, you know, some of my father's books. He writes books on creative self-discovery, which teaches practices of using creative approaches to uncovering and discovering yourself, like through music and art and movement. And you'd see books from Osho, who has been a big influence in my life. Super Sex Consciousness is one of the books I particularly like. And you'd see Raja Yoga books. You know, there'd be probably maybe 300 or 400 books I have on the subject and you know, consciousness and transformation.
And so what if I were to grab your music player, MP3 player, what would I hear?
Well, you might hear some of my music, because I've been making music for the last few years with this work. It's funny, because when I was in the software business, the money was good, but I had lost my creative connection. With the work I do now for the last 12 years, it's an integration of all the things I loved and all the jobs I ever did. And when people come to do our work, they usually come with some sort of intention of something they want to get to, clear up, or uncover, either connection, more connection with their present beloved or creative beloved or work that's inspiring or a place that's inspiring. And that starts to show up in the process of living. So, you know, what you'd hear is music, my music probably. Yeah.
So you mentioned your father as a male role model for yourself. So name a woman that's had a positive impact on your life.
Well, you know, there's been so many wonderful women, but I have two mothers, one white, one black. And they were both great influences in my life. You mentioned earlier I do this one-man show that I tour around the country. And I do bring that up in my show. They were a big influence. One of my earlier experiences in theater was as a young boy at 8 years old, and I was in a production of Medea. And Medea was about a woman who, you know, kills her kids. And she had a nursemaid. And Medea was played by Bea Richards, who was, she was the mother of Sidney Poitier in Guess Who's Coming to Dinner. And she had a nursemaid, and the nursemaid was Maya Angelou. And I was in this production for 2 weeks at the Cornet Theater in Los Angeles with these two divas. And I tell you, 2 weeks with them was worth, a 3-year training at the Academy of Arts at Juilliard.
What a gift. What a gift. Mm. So let's say if you could travel back in time, what would you tell your 20-year-old self?
Well, I would really start to slow down. I would listen more to the integrated masculine-feminine dynamic, which is one of the things that Tantra teaches. As it exists in our unconsciousness as men in terms of our proclivity to want to, conquer and get lost in our lust, and there's nothing wrong with any of those things unless it's the only thing we know, because there's so many other dimensions to sex consciousness. So I would have probably shortcut it to doing more of what I'm doing now, as opposed to going the route of, corporate America or, what I thought looked like, a solid citizen.
Yeah. So there are some people out there right now that they're looking at the world and the media, and they're seeing a world that's spiraling out of control, and there's a lot of pessimism and negativity out there. And on the other hand, there are some people who are pretty optimistic, and they think that we have created this shift in consciousness in which we as human beings are moving to a deeper level of consciousness. Where do you fall on the spectrum between pessimism and optimism?
Well, Michael, I'm definitely and always have been a guy whose glass is half full,
Okay.
There's so many inspiring things, and at a drop of a hat, to make, lemonade out of lemons is the opportunity. The rain falls from the sky, and I could say, well, it's a lousy day, Well, it's just water falling from the sky. One of the things these practices teach, and what I've learned in my own life, is that I am really generating my own interpretation to this random that happens.
Okay.
I saw this guy who was a motivational speaker, and I forget his name, but he was talking to a class of about 1,200 high school students, graduating class. And he was literally nothing but a head and a torso. He had one little flipper foot on the end of his torso.
Yeah.
And he was an inspirational speaker who's got two books out. They're doing a movie on him. He's married to a beautiful lady, and he's inspiring these 1,200 kids. And what he did was it brought tears to my eyes. He was talking to them and, inspiring them that they could live their life to do whatever they want, and they were listening to this guy who was talking on a headset because he had no hands or legs. And there was a phone on the podium. The phone rang, and they panned the audience, and you could see people just like, oh, my God, like crying, like, what's he going to do? The phone's ringing. How's he going to answer the phone? And he somehow knew a way to get down there and use his neck to pick up the phone, and he answered the phone, and somebody hung up, and then he put the phone down, and he looked at the audience, and he said, now, if I can do that, you can do anything.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Man, inspiring.
Right,
very,
right.
Very, very inspiring.
Yeah.
So, now, we're going to be talking about your Tantra Nova program, but there's a couple of questions I have to ask you. First of all, we see so many negative stereotypes surrounding black men and sexuality. I'm really curious as to how many black male participants you have in your work.
Yeah. Well, honestly, Michael, we don't have a large percentage of black men coming through our work, more as of the last 3 or 4 years. Even though, as you've seen our pictures, I'm black, my partner is white. And we used to be, we're very prolific on the internet. We don't do so much print advertising now, but we certainly did do a lot over the years here in the Chicago area. So people know we're here, but I don't know that, marketing is hitting the black male in a way that it is of interest. I'm confident that anybody who comes to the work willingly will get the work, in terms of the transformational process. And as I say, we're getting more, but I'd say on a percentage basis, if we had 100 people, or say we had 50 people in a workshop, we might have 2 black guys.
Yeah. And the reason that I bring that up is because I believe that there's an opportunity for us, especially as men of color, to begin having this dialogue to offset all those negative media stereotypes that we see.
Yes.
And just seeing you doing this work inspires me. Because from my own perspective, I know there's a lot of times when I sort of feel alone and isolated because the overwhelming majority of people that read my books and participate in my work aren't black men.
Right.
And
right.
I'm trying so desperately to get them involved, you know, in this work. And one area that I know that we truly have to have a dialogue about is sexuality.
Absolutely.
And so sexuality has nothing to do with ethnicity. We must begin this conversation in dialogue. And so that was another reason why I was really excited to have you on the show, to have this dialogue with you, to have a kinship with another brother that is doing this type of work.
Yes.
So it's an honor to have you on the show from that perspective. So I just want to say, if nothing else, thank you for the man that you are, but also blowing up the negative stereotypes of black men in relationships.
Yes. Well, you know, Michael, we all play a part in this shift towards consciousness, as you are with the books you write, with producing this show and bringing people like me on and other people. We all play a part in, you know, transforming this world to a consciousness. And I do believe that, you know, this divine intelligence that we're a spark of wins out. I mean, you know, it's to exist, you know, and we always will do the thing to continue being. And the sexual energetic is the last frontier in terms of our consciousness, because think about it, 500 years, 100 years ago, we couldn't feed everybody on the planet. We literally could not physically do it. We could physically move food and feed enough people on the planet now, technically, but we haven't made the spiritual quantum leap to seeing ourselves in each other. And it's the sexual piece that black or white, green, blue, or brown, is the piece that keeps us from, if we aren't connected in a positive way, which for 99.9% of the people, there's, you know, the sexual energetic is enshrouded in shame and fear and guilt and old stories and, you know, socialization and so on. And yet the kernel, the primordial piece of that energy is creative. It creates life. It's pleasurable. And when you do the practices as we teach them, what happens is the capacity to consciously draw on those pieces as a way of being in your life. So creativity and pleasure start showing up in the process of living itself.
Yeah.
As opposed to the suffering, you know, left brain, well, I hate my job, but what am I going to do 30 more years of retirement? We either shift the conversation, which changes the feeling, and we look for other work and find our passion and move into that.
Right. I got it. Yeah, and I'm definitely in alignment with you on that spiritual piece. We could talk for hours on that one. So we're going to talk about healthy male sexuality. And so I want to begin, first of all, is how would you define healthy sexuality?
Well, I would define healthy sexuality as a man that recognizes that, you know, there is a aspect to us that is connected to the feminine and the masculine. Even though we are grounded in the masculine as masculine Homo sapiens, you know, at the beginning when we're zygotes in the womb, we're androgynous, and then as we are, it's decided for whatever reason, man or female, as a man, we have aspects of estrogen in our system. A woman has aspects of testosterone in her system, and later in life, the whole thing reverses itself. You know, men grow breasts, women grow hair on their faces. So to answer your question in terms of healthy sexuality would be a man that in every sense is integrated with his masculine, yet his nurturing side as well.
So I know for a lot of men, they can't make the distinction between intimacy and sex. A lot of men think that intimacy is the physical act of sex. So how would you define intimacy?
That's really key, Michael. You know, intimacy can show up at any moment. You know, intimacy can be in just looking into someone's eyes that you don't know on the street. For most of us, it's about 3 seconds. Anything over 3 seconds, it's like, what are you looking at? But to be intimate enough to be allow yourself to be seen in all your embarrassment, in all your discomfort, in all your anxiety, in all of the everything that is human, is intimacy. And so once we drop into that, which is what happens in the sexual energetic piece, which we'll get into, I hope, later. But that's what I would say, yeah.
Yeah. And so I want you to clarify something, because here's another thing that I know. There are a lot of men out there who don't believe that it's possible for men to create intimate, connected, nurturing connections with women.
Well, we are, you know, women process information differently from men. I mean, they're designed to listen internally as well as externally. So, I mean, they are designed to carry a baby, so they're really designed to listen internally to what's going on. So they can cognate much more efficiently emotionally and analytically, whereas we are either analytical and then our emotional part is fighting, you know. So we can allow emotion, like if we're in a war and we've just got through killing a bunch of people, we can cry with our comrades. Or if we've been in an athletic event and we had a really bloody, good sporting event, we can cry with our comrades or our teammates, you know. Yet for a man to learn to allow himself to be seen in this intimacy, as we talked earlier, that's really a healthy piece, and it's possible to learn. And one of the things that we teach, and one of the primary edicts in the tantric practices and all the variations that there are out there, is for the man to learn to separate ejaculation from orgasm. Mm. And it's in that piece, well, you know, you might go, well, okay, that'll make you a better lover because you can last longer. Yeah, that might be a byproduct. Yet at a deeper level, what happens is a man starts to bring mastery over this energy that has us from the beginning. You know, it's like from the beginning, little kids, look, Ma, no hands, you know. And we're run by the little head our whole lives.
Right.
So when we start bringing mastery and consciousness to this energy, it's an interesting thing, but you start to look through and see yourself in the other, and that's when you can start to connect with your partner, your female partner, because she starts feeling energy at the heart. And what we learn in the tantric practices is how to bring the sexual energy up to the heart with the mind's focus, intention, and breath, and so on. And from that place, she trusts and opens, and then her sexual energy is flowing.
Mm.
And that's how you create that connection.
There you go. So we're going to talk about your program, Tantra Nova, and I want to begin by reading a little blurb from your website, and it says, Tantra Nova's breakthrough technology in sexual enlightenment recognizes the intelligence of and the systemic relationship between life force or sexual energy, creativity and pleasure, allowing for flow, joy and fulfillment in all areas of life, while other forms of intelligence such as IQ, emotional intelligence, kinesthetic intelligence, have been researched and evolved over the past few decades, intelligence integral to sexual energy is not commonly known and understood.
Mm-hmm.
However, Tantra Nova teaches how to bring consciousness to our life force, our sexual energy, that fuels all life. This allows for integrating our sexual with our emotional, intellectual, and spiritual being, and thus a sense of wholeness within oneself as well as in relationships. Now, that to me really sort of sums it up, and I think that is probably the piece that a lot of men miss, because we've been conditioned to believe that sex is purely a physical act.
Yes.
And I believe that's why so many of us are unfulfilled, because it should be a lot deeper. And what you're talking about, the connection and the intimacy, is what's been missing. So tell us a little bit about, or shall I say, what is Tantra, and how do you distinguish Tantra Nova from traditional Tantra?
Sure. Okay. Well, Tantra started out about 5,000 years ago and was developed in the Hindu tradition in eastern India. And it was a religious practice. And there were deities and stories. And one of the things that separated it from a lot of religious practices, I mean, it can be as dogmatic as any other religion, but was that there was the sexual aspect, and that was considered sacred. And then there was the Tao, T-A-O, approach to sex consciousness as a modality of healing and consciousness and health. And within the Hindu tradition of Tantra, there are different sects, if you will, that talk about red Tantra, which is more extreme in terms of intercourse and alcohol as a process to move through, not to get stuck in, but as a process that many get stuck in, but at the higher levels you can move through that just like anything else. And then the other extremes, for white Tantra or Kundalini, where there's no physical stimulation of the sexual energetic, but it's all energy, Kundalini energy. And so what we do in Tantra Nova, which is Tantra New, New Tantra, is we integrate aspects of old traditional Tantra, of the, because Tantra was one of the original yogas of the energetic body, and it's all energy. And we integrate also approaches to transformation from the West that are more familiar, like generative language, how we create our reality and language, creative self-discovery, as written about by my father, who's a psychiatrist, and those approaches that are more familiar in the West. So that's where we have distinguished ourselves as different from traditional Tantra, and we don't so much buy into or teach the dogmas of Tantra. We are really working more with sex consciousness as a modality of awareness, that an energetic that we can learn to draw on to enliven, you know, our life.
So give us an idea of logistics. So let's say I'm interested in participating in your Tantra Nova program. So is it a 1 day, 2 day? How does that work? What's the logistics of the program?
Great. Well, we have many different programs. You know, we have 1 day programs, we have 3 day programs, we have 5 day programs, and we have a healing rituals that we teach for the woman, healing rituals we teach for the man. We have women's series program, which my partner is teaching this weekend. We have men's programs just for men, which I will have a workshop on the 23rd here at Tantra Nova Institute. We do body work workshops. I have a theater workshop that I teach, which is not about necessarily becoming a thespian. It's about employing theater-based technology with tantric practices as a vehicle to shift the stories that we live in that create the suffering. So there's a lot of different, you know, workshops, and we have a certification program, level 1, level 2, and a level 3, which are six months, you know. So there's a lot of different ways to participate. I do a one-man show that I tour and do at different places that we do workshops around the country.
So do couples and singles participate in the same workshops? Are they separate, or how does that work?
Okay, good. Here at Tantra Nova, we have singles, we have couples. If someone comes as a single, we gender balance based on their interest. I mean, if it's, you know, gay person, then we would look for someone who would match that. If there was a woman who was a lesbian, then we would match that. Heterosexual, we would match that. So, but people come as singles and as couples. When we're teaching, we're on faculty at Kripalu, which is a yoga retreat institute in Massachusetts. When we teach there, they usually bring in people who are couples because they don't do the gender balancing thing so much. Mm-hmm. We also are on faculty out at Esalen in Big Sur in California, and when we teach there, they also will just offer it to couples. But people can come as a committed couple or just as a couple to do the workshop as well. And then we work with individuals too, and single couples in private session work.
And so we're on a new conversation with men, so I want to kind of shift the energy just a little bit towards men, because I know that, as mentioned in my intro, men generally aren't comfortable talking about sexuality. We put on the facades, the mask, and we want to be macho and pretend. But I would assert, and this is just my judgment, that let's just say too many men aren't really happy with their sex lives. What do you think would be one of the driving forces for that? Why do you think so many men are unhappy with their sex lives?
Well, what I've experienced in doing this work, not just in my own practice since I was 15 and I'm 57 now, but as a practitioner for the last 12 years, And what I've experienced from men is that we are disconnected by and large to our willingness to tap into that intimacy. We hide from it. We're scared of it. So in the sexual experience, to not be willing to go there in that intimacy or be familiar enough with it or have a vehicle or practices that allow you accessibility consciously to it can result in dissatisfaction with our sex lives.
Yeah.
Yet when we learn these practices that teach, the three main distinctions that we teach, that we work from, are the sex, love, consciousness aspect, are the conscious breathing, the consciousness of breath, meditation, the observer state of mind, and the energy awareness, non-aroused and aroused. And it's those three skills that are developed in the work that we teach. And in learning those skills, that's when we start to be able to have that intimacy accessible and familiar and available to us at all times. And particularly in lovemaking, it becomes even richer. When we bring consciousness to lovemaking, the divine shows up. And when the divine shows up, it can't be denied.
Yeah. And, you know, it's been said that how we do anything is the way we do everything. And if we're not willing, to connect intimately with ourselves, it's difficult, if not impossible, for us to connect with women or with others.
Yep.
And so, from your experience, how can a man become, shall I say, more sexually enlightened and benefit from your work?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, even your listeners today, if men took a moment right now and just took five conscious belly breaths on a regular basis, they could see how busy their mind was. And it's in seeing that busy mind that we start to get that there's something beyond the conversations and the interpretations and the ego and the survival thinking that we live in. There's something beyond that. And it's in that place that we can start to create what we want to create. Now, if I say, I'm just dissatisfied with my sex life, there's no good women or whatever, that's a story. And energetically, it creates a reality for me. So it's in seeing where that comes from, it's like letting go of everything, to then live into creating the intention. You know, so I would say to start making it accessible for anybody right now would be to just take five belly breaths, and that's parasympathetic breathing, so that's breathing into the nose, the lungs, and extending into the belly like a big balloon on your inhalation, and then exhaling back up and out. And just stay with that for five breaths, because you'll see, just even in five breaths, how busy the mind is. But it's in that, and it's in that stillness that intimacy starts to show up. Even not even talking about aroused sexual energy at this point. We're just talking about the developing a meditative observer mind.
And so for those of you who are listening, I want you to really pay attention to what he just said, because I know from my own personal experience with some breath work that I've done, I went to a class and the lady said, take a deep breath, and when you inhale, your stomach, as you mentioned, should belly out. But I was doing the opposite. My breathing, when I would take a deep breath, I'd hold my breath. I was really inhaling when I thought I was, you know, exhaling.
Right.
And so paying attention to the breath is so, so powerful. But
yeah, it's key. It's key. I mean, we breathe sympathetically, automatically, unconsciously to stay oxygenated and in this body. When we bring consciousness to the breath, it gives the busy mind something to focus on, because you have to focus on bringing breath into the diaphragm, which extends the belly.
And in
doing that for five breaths, you start to see how busy the mind is. And so then we start to slow down. And it's in that state that we can then start to work in ways with the sexual energy. And if we don't have that consciousness, we go to the sexual energy, we're just like animals. I mean, it's automatic. You don't have to think about it. I was telling a buddy about this sex consciousness. He said, man, look, I don't need any conscious sex. I like sex is good enough stupid for me. And that's just how powerful it is. It's good even when it's stupid, you know?
Yeah. But, you know, deep down, I really believe, especially as men, we're really hungry for connection.
Yeah.
We're hungry for intimacy.
Yes.
But we live in a culture that's counter to that. The
yeah.
culture conditions us to believe that as men, and I just my personal belief is that we have been so conditioned to be in our heads, not our hearts, that mm. it doesn't allow us to truly connect, to experience that intimacy. And if we aren't willing to get out of our heads and get into our hearts, it's difficult, if not impossible, for us to connect. So I'm curious with, you know, with the Tantra Nova approach, you know, you hear a lot of people, I mean, how many times have you heard the story where a couple gets married and they say, the, you know, the sex life goes out the window?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, it's like, how many times have you heard that? So does your approach support men in not having that happen in their marriages?
Oh, well, no, absolutely. I mean, this is just a byproduct of being with someone over a period of time. There's going to be, you know, the relationship starts out, you know, the first 3 years. You just love each other to death. You know, it's just so powerful. You love the smell of each other's armpits, and, you know, you're just making love all the time. Then after about 5 or 6 years, the kids come along. You got a mortgage. Everybody's working, you know. Or struggling or whatever, life, you know, up and down, maybe somebody got sick, whatever. And it's like you look over and you say, honey, you need to take a bath. You know, it's like that's just an inevitable piece to being in relationship, you know. And so doing these practices allows us an access back to and a reminder as a way of being and coming back to this, you know. We work with couples all the time, and what we have them do is schedule regular practices together so that they can remember the intimacy that's possible. I mean, you know, really, you can, you know, really, Michael, I believe you could love anybody, you know. We do get connections with different people that are stronger than others, chemically, whatever it is, it is an attraction. Yet what makes it real is the agreements we make with them. That's what makes that connection that you feel with that person different from someone else you might just meet that you feel connected to too, but you have agreements with someone else, and that's what makes a difference. But we really could love anybody, you know. So an agreement to regularly connect, particularly in long-term relationship, is imperative to keeping the juices flowing, to keeping a clarity, to keeping a, you know, a clean slate from all of the stuff that just happens in relationship.
Now, there are some people that have experienced, shall I say, severe sexual trauma.
Mm.
And there's that unconscious issue that maybe they're not even aware of. Does your work help heal that?
Mm. Well, you know, we have worked with some folks who have been severely sexually abused. And, you know, that those wounds are deep. And, you know, what we teach in terms of a healthy person who hasn't gone through a lot of sexual abuse, I mean, we've all had some kind of abuse just in terms of being around a society that tells you don't touch yourself, it's a bad thing, don't only make love to have children and only in the dark and only in the missionary and blah, 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 and on and on and on. But people who've been really severely, severely sexually traumatized, particularly at early ages, really require a lot of therapeutic work, I mean, before they can even begin oftentimes to approach what we teach. Now, we have had, as I say, people who've come here who have been sexually abused, but before they get to us, they've gone through a lot of work on their own.
Sure.
With therapy and other modalities and, you know, working with trying to reconnect, because that's really deep. When you're in this sexual energetic, whether you're listening to this show or believe what I'm talking about or not, we are more open, more loving, more vulnerable, more receptive. I mean, chemically we change. Oxytocin is released. Endorphins are enhanced. Serotonin is released. We are chemically different, open, vulnerable here. Now, if in that state we are abused, and it doesn't often appear that way to the child just doesn't know. It might even feel good to the child. But it's the adult that's taking advantage, and that's the energy.
Mm-hmm.
The adult knows and is taking advantage of the child, and that break of trust is yeah, it's a tough one.
Yeah.
Yeah, it happens a lot, too.
So another thing that some people believe is that You know, I guess it's like, you know, we talked about the beginning of the relationship, you know, the first few years, there's lots of passion and so forth and so on. But it's almost like we have decided that as we get older, the love is just going to kind of disappear anyway. And so, you know, we might as well just kind of go with it, sit in our separate chairs, watch TV, and, you know, live these disconnected, non-passionate lives. So what are your thoughts on making intimacy last? Let's say, you know, you get into your 60s and 70s.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, if you have been in a relationship for 50 or 60 years or 40 years, that's unbelievable. And it can be done. I think what's important, though, is to stay current with what is your passion. Because I think relationship, it's like in a constant metamorphosis, you know. What worked when you first started might not be appropriate in 10 years or 15 or 20 years. Mm-hmm. So what is it that works about the relationship, and what is it that doesn't? And that kind of an honest looking requires an ability to be with discomfort. And most of us don't do very well with that unless we've developed some of these capacities of the witness, the observer, the belly breath, a grounded sense of center, a willingness to speak your truth, and a willingness to listen to others' truths, you know, because we take a lot for granted in relationship.
Yeah. Now, you've got a new book coming out called Sexual Enlightenment.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, the Sexual Enlightenment book is going to be a really exciting book for us because it's all the stuff that we've been talking about and teaching and doing and seeing the fruits of over the last 12 years. So it's a book, a labor of love, and we're really excited to be hopefully completing that sometime this year. Yeah. It's about the work of creating this and working with and drawing on this life force or sexual energy as an enlightening process, an enlightening tapping into this divine that we are. You know, we're these big brain thinking Homo sapiens, been figuring out the universe forever, and there's a touch of the divine that we're a part of, you know. And when we get still, we really recognize it. And, you know, in the bigger sense of what we're doing, this work is about peace on earth. You know, it doesn't appear that way. When somebody comes, well, I want to have better sex. Well, you will too. You'll learn that as well. And yet, in the bigger sense, when you continue to do this work, you really get the seeing ourselves in each other, and that's the piece that is missing. I think I started out this segment with you tonight about feeding people on planet and seeing ourselves in each other, and that's the next quantum leap to make that spiritual connection to creating a nirvana or a heaven on earth.
Sure.
So that's what the book's about, and it's unwrapping all of that as much as we can in, you know, a couple hundred pages.
And what I'm hearing you say, correct me if I'm wrong, but we started off talking about healthy sexuality. And I know for most people, when we say healthy sexuality, we're thinking about intercourse. But what I hear you saying is healthy sexuality is really about a connection to the self.
That's very good, yes.
Yeah, it's really about us coming to the understanding of who we really are as spiritual beings. And when we get there, then sexuality and everything else kind of falls into place because
we are sexual beings. And, you know, what does that mean? I mean, sex is what allowed us to come into existence, right? And yet it's so vilified, right? And what we're talking about doesn't necessarily mean intercourse. You know, we could teach what we're doing to nuns and priests if you were vowed to celibacy. It's about getting this life force energy as a vitalizing, enlivening force that is creative and pleasurable. And again, that's systemic. That shows up everywhere. And doing these practices, it becomes more accessible as a way of living.
And so your process, your Tantra Nova process, helps people, if I'm hearing you correctly, also tap into their creativity, which to me is really that divine spark that's in us anyway.
Absolutely. When we're in a creative space, Michael, like, you know, say you're making a drawing or writing an exciting chapter in your book or drawing a picture or, you know, raising your child or doing anything of a creative nature, it's the same energy and chemicals that are happening in our body that happen when we're in our sexual energy. the oxytocin, the endorphins, the immune enhancer, all of that stuff's happening. You know, so once we start to tap into our sexual aliveness and awareness of that, creativity just starts to blossom as a natural process. That's when I believe we're in our most divine nature, when we're in our creative selves. I mean, that's like the expanding universe. It's that same energy that, you know, evolved us from single-cell amoebas, you know, to multi-cell organisms.
Yeah, and I don't know if you're familiar. There's a guy named Andrew Cohen.
Oh, yeah, Andrew Cohen, sure.
Yeah, who wrote an amazing book called Evolutionary Spirituality, or Evolutionary Enlightenment, actually.
He has the magazine Enlightenment, right.
Yes, Enlightened Next magazine. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
And he calls it the divine impulse, and that impulse is the impulse that started this whole process from the Big Bang to now, and that impulse is what's still moving, if you will. And you know, some people refer to evolution as the breath of God. You know, there's just this movement that its evolution is going somewhere. And
yes.
So what I'm saying is that we tap into that when we really get in touch with who we really are, and that creativity comes from us accessing that divine impulse, which is in everyone.
It's been said in so many ways. That's why we're writing a book, to say it in our way, yet it's all been written before. It's said in different ways, and what I've found is that we all have the capacity to tap into it. And so the practices, again, at Tantra Nova are practices to learn to tap into this God-given, if you will, energetic that we are. And the creative piece just starts to show up. And it's in each of us. I mean, we all have something very special that's unique about us. Now, you know, we're lucky if in our lives we're able to express and be in that in a way that, you know, supports our existence in terms of a living. And, you know, it's an opportunity for all of us to continue to move towards that, because that's where the juice is. That's what the difference in, you know, an inspired life. And just like you said, well, might as well just, you know, hang it up now. I'm 60 or whatever. What else, you know, what else could happen? What I've been doing my whole life is the way it's going to be the rest of my life. So, you know.
So what you're talking about then, Freddie, is basically an integration of sexuality and spirituality.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's all one. It's all one.
Oh, that's beautiful. And as I sit here and I'm thinking about all of this, and I know that, you know, the work that I do with men, the majority of them have not done any work, if you will. You know, they're sort of new to this spirituality stuff. And
sure, yeah.
And so they may have some resistance to that. But I think what, in summary, what we can say is that the reason that, for example, we talked about why we stop making love to our mates after 5 years or whatever, is we cut off that creative flow of energy. We disconnect from the source of who we are. Because I think too many times as men, we expect our wives to make us happy. It's like we get married and we think, okay, well, I'm going to get married and I'm going to be happy. But as has been said, you got to start with you first. And what your work is doing is helping people start with them.
Right.
They are the source.
Yeah, assisting people. I like to use the word assisting, because I really can't, you know, helping is almost like my ego. You know, I'm going to help you. But to assist, to show someone a practice that they can use to tap in and shift the story that keeps them from connecting, as you say, with their wife perhaps 5 years or whatever into the relationship, and be able to come back to, you know, what's possible, which is a connection, and then keep building and you know, connecting. And that's the opportunity. That's the joy of living, you know.
Yeah, and I love that, this idea of integration, because you know, I think what we've done too many times is we've seen it as separate things. Sex is separate. You know, work is separate. You know, raising is separate. But it's really one thing. It's the expression of who we are.
It's all one thing. Yep.
Yeah,
it totally is.
Oh, that's beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. So how can people get in touch with your work? How would they find you?
We can be contacted at tantranova.com, TANTRANOVA.com. And for your listeners, we have a special gift if they go to the website. It's a giveaway of 10 practices So when they go to the website and they sign up, give us their email, then they get 10 practices that they can do right away to start tapping into their intimacy.
So it's sort of like a mini workshop, if you will.
It's like a mini Cliff Notes version of a workshop that gives them some just practices that they can do every day as like a meditation with their partner, with themselves, to start developing more capacity and accessibility to this intimacy that we're talking about here.
So help the listeners a little bit when you say practices.
Mm-hmm. I talked a little bit earlier, like, for instance, breathing, the belly breathing.
Okay.
That's a practice. That'd be like a practice. There's our chakra awareness practices that you can bring awareness to different areas of the body that house emotional energy body. It's like, you know, when you feel sexual energy, you feel it in a certain part of your body. When you feel anger, you feel that in some part of your body. When you feel tenderness, you feel that in some part of your body. So there are practices to bring more awareness to those feelings that show up in areas of the body. There are physical practices that are in this 10 practices. And some of those I just mentioned are in this 10 practices. So that would be like a practice.
Now, how important is it, because I know, you know, as a motivational speaker, so I've got, say, 1,500 people in the stadium, and I get them all pumped up for this motivational talk, and then they go home, and then tomorrow, boom, it's gone. They revert back to the old ways, if you will. So how important is consistency in practice to make this really stick?
Well, that's what you know, Michael, is that, you know, when they come to see you, you lead them through what you're saying, what I'm saying, take this with you and do it. So, but they come there, they pay their money, they sit down, they give you their attention, and you lead them through it, and they feel the effects of it. And as you say, you go home, and now you aren't there to lead them through it. It's the willingness for them to keep the practice going that this aliveness shows up. So that's the whole thing. They've got to do it if they want to have the effects of it.
And so in your work, let's say, for example, I come to your facility and I do one of your 3 or 5 day workshops.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have ongoing, shall I say, support systems in place that can help me stay in touch with the things I learned from your workshop?
Yeah, we do have a practice class that we offer every 2 weeks. So people who have done our work can come and do this practice class, for like $20 or whatever for a session. And it's like an hour and a half, and we take people through. It's like a yoga class, but it's like in the practices that we teach, some body work, breathing meditations, active passive meditations. There's not a lot of conversation. It moves pretty much like that.
And so what about people that can't make it to your facility? What types of trainings do you have available that people may be able to purchase, see online?
Great, yeah. Thanks for reminding me. On our website, we do have a DVD series, Creating Intimacy and Love, which is available in DVD. And then we also have an advanced DVD that can go with that DVD called The Discovery of Sexual Spiritual Connection. We also have a CD, Creating Intimacy and Love, Foundational Practices CD. And that CD has about 10 practices or so on it, meditation practices that you can do that, again, will bring more awareness to this intimacy that eludes us so. And I do my show, my one-man show, and that shows up different. I show up with that in different parts of the country. I'll be doing it here in Chicago on March 30th, and then I'll be out in California doing some shows later in the year.
And so real quickly, tell us a little bit more about the content of your Creating Intimacy and Love. Is this like showing some of your, you know, your workshop, and it provides the practices, or what's on that DVD?
Sure. The Creating Intimacy and Love DVD is equivalent to our one-day beginner workshop, and it basically is showing us working with 8 students, going through the practices that you can that you would experience in the beginner one day. The Discovery of Sexual Spiritual Connection is Elsbeth and myself demonstrating. It's very vivid. Demonstrating some of the sex rituals that we teach, the healing for the woman and the healing for the man, and it's explicit. So to so people know that. But you really need to either have come to a workshop or at least have seen the Creating Intimacy and Love to understand what's happening in the Discovery of Sexual Spiritual Connection DVD.
So the great place to start, if there's someone new that's, you know, wanting to get to know your work, a good place to start would be the Creating Intimacy and Love?
Correct, and the Foundational Practices CD. Mm-hmm. And I would get the Discovery Sexual Spiritual Connection, too, if you wanted to really jump in.
Okay, and give that website again.
Uh-huh. It's www.tantranova.com, tantranova.com.
Well, as we begin to wind down, I just wanted to get a couple of insights from you, and I can't even begin to tell you how honored I've been to have you on the show and for you to share your knowledge and wisdom with us. But as mentioned at the beginning, there are still a lot of people that are really, I guess, in fear about life, and they sort of shut down, and they may not believe that it's possible to feel alive, to feel connected, to create intimacy. Mm. What words of wisdom would you share for that person who may be listening to this and may be feeling stuck? Mm. What would you say to them?
Yeah. I would say, you know, allow yourself to just sit and think about what you would like to, how would you like your life to be showing up? What would you really like to have show up with that? And then just dispel, just allow yourself to dream for a few moments. You know, and I know it's difficult for many because, you know, the reality is this or that. And it's from that place, once you start an idea, once you can just even get an idea, it can start to show up in ways that don't even seem possible. So as long as we're living, there's a new opportunity in each moment. And it's in that moment to moment to moment that the magic can show up. So, you know, just to tell a little quick closing story, there was Nelson Mandela was in jail, and he writes about this in his book, when they decided they were going to execute him, and like anyone, he was very worried and upset about it, and, you know, beside himself, and then he had accepted his death, and then he was calm. Nothing had changed. He was still in that jail cell, and nothing could bother him or hurt him. He was at peace, and then eventually he got out. But in that moment, he was fine. So we've got to find a way to tap back into our imagination, you know, and use music to do that. You know, listen to music that you like as a process before you start into the dream place of what you want to create in your life. You can use dance, work out, do something to shift the chemicals, the energy, and then start to visualize what you want to, how you would like your life to show up. And then let it go, and then keep doing that as a regular practice. And it's amazing what starts to show up when we start bringing something into our consciousness.
Yeah.
You know, it's all connected.
Sure. So yeah. So how important is meditation to you?
Oh, it's vitally important. I mean, you miss the whole thing if you don't practice that meditative piece, because again, we're relatively new as thinking Homo sapiens, you know, being aware of our own existence and the only animal that is on the planet in this way that we are. And so unless we start to develop a connection with this intelligence that we are, that's all knowing, I mean, we're the same elements that we are the same elements that are in stardust. So there's an aspect of ourselves that knows all of that. And it's letting go of what we have learned to know, to get that we know everything, and then from that place we can create something that's totally something that's new.
Right.
That's where it all starts.
Yeah.
You know, it's in that kernel. So, anyway.
Well, Freddie, it has been an absolute pleasure. And like I said, I just want to say that I feel a kinship. And it's very special to me as a human being, first of all, to be on the planet with you with the same intention of waking people up to who they really are. Because that's really what it's all about. That's what my work is about. That's what your work is about.
Yes.
And so I definitely want to have you back on again, man, because I know we can really provide some insights to support people in doing that. So,
I would love to do it anytime, Michael.
I'm so glad that you guys reached out and I was able to have you on the show. So, again, I want to say thank you and give you an opportunity for any closing thoughts that you'd like to close with tonight.
Just keep doing your work, and I hope that tonight's program and other programs that you do inspire others to do their work. We all make a difference. Keep living and loving, and, keep making it a better world.
All right, man. I appreciate you, and you have yourself a good weekend. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks, Michael. Bye-bye.
All right. Take care. So this has been another episode of A New Conversation with Men, and I got to tell you, I'm overflowing with gratitude for having the opportunity to have that chat with Freddie. What an awesome human being. Awesome, awesome. This is why I do this show, to connect with other like-minded people who are making a positive impact on the world. So I challenge you to do the same, because you have it within you to do that, to make an impact. So go out there and make an impact. You can do it. We'll see you next week. Take care.
And now, insurance-minded speeches from GEICO.
It's a common expression, don't look a gift horse in the mouth. However, what if the horse's mouth is filled with useful insurance tools? This is the exact case with the GEICO app. Yes, the app is free and therefore a gift horse. However, look inside the app and behold, emergency roadside assistance, digital ID cards, bill pay. Get the GEICO app. Look it in the mouth. Get amazing services. Thank you.